darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they will enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is no neutrality, no middle ground, and no third-party ticket in regard to our eternal destiny. A person may choose the middle road of being an independent rather than a Democrat or a Republican. A person may choose to drive a Toyota pickup rather than a Ford or a Chevy. And a person may even choose to go to Minot State University rather than NDSU or UND. However, in regard to eternity and the spiritual realm, there are only two options. Yes, only two options: God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom. Otherwise stated, there is no third alternative, no middle ground, and no third kingdom. It does not work this way in regard to our spiritual identity. Just two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of evil. Now, with each of these kingdoms, there is a distinctive mark of their power, a distinctive mark of who they are. Each makes an appeal, and each claims its own followers. On the one hand, the kingdom of evil goes the way of self-independence, where a person does this, they reject God's will and his grace, they exalt their own desires, they wink at filth, embrace material things over top of people, and boast of their own free will to choose whatever makes them happy. That's right. In the kingdom of evil, it teaches mankind to depend on their own abilities to obtain whatever religious endeavor they so choose. Furthermore, those in the kingdom of evil, they hate the Lord and they despise his word as well. They call anarchy freedom. Murdering of babies in the womb is apparently compassion. Sexual immorality is love. And the biblical labels of man and woman are apparently oppressive. Also, according to the kingdom of evil, being discerning is categorized as bigotry. Speaking the truth in love is called hate speech. Integrity is called intolerance. And the wisdom of the cross, well, that's just considered foolishness at best. For the kingdom of evil, 2 plus 3 is four, and sometimes it is six, depending on the circumstances and depending on whose feelings might be hurt. The kingdom of evil is for the strong, and it is for those who can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It is for those who do not need a Savior, but are a Savior unto themselves. Now, on the other hand, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, it goes the way of a beggarly disposition, beggarly dependence. We're dependent like children, need God's will and need God's grace, where they confess their sins, acknowledge virtue as good and true and whole, where they receive material things as gifts and exalt the Lord who frees bound sinners such as themselves. At its center, the kingdom of God teaches its members to depend upon the Lord's word and sacraments for forgiveness, life, and salvation. It teaches its members to speak the truth in love, even when it hurts. It teaches that the word of God is the standard and the source and the rule of ethics and faith and reality, even when it contradicts culture. For the kingdom of God, thoughts and actions and desires are actually captive to the word of God and not the aspirations of mankind. The kingdom of God, frankly, is for losers and sinners, the sick and the beggarly and children and the weak and those who cannot pull themselves up from their bootstraps because they simply do not have any straps. It is for those who are in need of a Savior, who are spiritually bankrupt. As you have just heard, these two kingdoms are rather different, are they not? Indeed, they are not the same, and there really is no compromise. I repeat, there is no compromise between the two kingdoms. What this means for you and for me, and for our neighbor, is that there is no middle kingdom, and it is impossible to be in both kingdoms at the same time. Otherwise stated, you cannot straddle. I repeat, we cannot straddle both kingdoms, for the divide between them is just too wide and too deep and too contradictory. Frankly stated, you and I and your neighbor are completely in one kingdom or in the other kingdom. Whether a person is male or female, young or old, a parent or a child, white collar or blue collar, an employee or a boss, there are only two realms that they can be placed in: the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Tragically, though, many people in the kingdom of evil, they actually wish to be called Christians. Blindly, they wish to be neutral. They do not want to make a complete break with the kingdom of evil. They want to be considered a Christian brother. But when they see that Christians are busy on behalf of God's kingdom and against Satan's in a completely different way than they are, well, they say that is uncalled for. As a result, they will slander and they will accuse. They will slander and accuse Christians, calling them fanatics or calling them as too strict or too intolerant. They may even say that these Christians should give in a little bit or simply learn to accommodate to the changing times, to just simply get with it. Whether these accusers, whether they realize it or not, they're attempting to have an alliance with the kingdom of evil, while thinking that they're in the kingdom of God. They're attempting to use Satan's ways in a good way for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, dear friends, we may not use Satan's weapons in the cause of God. As we learned in our gospel lesson, Satan will not have a divided kingdom. Therefore, how can a divided Christianity be for Christ? Christ is not divided. Furthermore, Christ does not war against the kingdom of evil using the armies of the devil. Therefore, what gives us the right to make an alliance with the kingdom of evil? This is the thinking of a fool. For our Lord explicitly states that if his church allies herself with anything that is evil, she goes the way of separating herself from Christ. Now, There are those who will hear that there's no middle kingdom, that there's no middle ground. These individuals may conclude that it is best to drop the ball and simply go home, to not play a part of either kingdom, to not be in that conflict. And they will confess, I am neither for nor against the kingdom of evil or the kingdom of light. I simply choose not to play this game. I want no part of it. I do not want to play spiritual politics. I want to be known for what I am for, not what I'm against. Count me out of all of this. I'm okay. Again, my friends, there's actually no such thing as neutrality. There's no such thing as an alliance. You and I and your neighbor are either with Jesus or against him. This means that even if a person could take the middle road, they would still be against the kingdom of God. So, with all this said to us, as it sobers us, as it knocks us down and it reveals to us the way that Jesus says that it is, there's a kingdom of evil and kingdom of light, no neutrality. I ask you this morning, which kingdom are you a part of? Have you tried to straddle the fence? Have you tried to compromise? Have you attempted to make an alliance with the kingdom of evil? Which kingdom do you, yes, you, each and every one of you, which kingdom do you belong to? If you've gone the way of trying to make a middle ground or have tried to make an alliance with evil, well, my friends, I say this with all love, repent. I say this with love for you and for me, repent. Why should you and I repent? You and I need repentance, for that is not who we presently are or who we belong to, my friends. Yes, you and I do not belong to the kingdom of evil. We are not of darkness. We are not of Satan, and Satan is not our master. Sure, we sin daily, and we are sinners by nature, like all people. However, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You followed the course of the world. You were ruled by the prince of the power of this age. You were children of wrath. But all of this has changed. It has all changed. The strong man, Jesus Christ, he came for you. He made you his own. Nothing will be the same. You who have ears, hear this. God in his mercy looked upon our predicament, and he had pity on us. He promised one who would overthrow the kingdom of Satan. He promised he would restore the rule of God's love in the heart of all people, that is, established the kingdom of God. And he has. He has. You do not belong to evil. You do not belong to the kingdom of darkness. You do not belong to Satan's kingdom. Satan has no authority. He has no voice. He has no power and no say over you. This means that we shall not straddle the kingdoms. We shall not make allegiances. Satan has no part of us, and we have no part of his evil lies and his kingdom. Now, while it is true that when you were conceived and born into this world, that you were conceived and born under the power of the devil and the condemnation of sin, it is not true that you are now. You are not ruled by Satan. And you are not under sin's condemnation. Why is this so? Why is this so for you? And why is it so for me? You see, at our baptisms, the strong man, Jesus Christ, he came for you. Jesus Christ, he crossed that great divide between the kingdoms of evil and the kingdom of light in order to rescue you and me in the mighty waters of baptism. As a stronger man, Jesus declared that the powers of the devil must be cast aside, away from us, so that room could be made for the Holy Spirit. And at your baptisms, there was a hostile takeover. That's right, at your baptisms, there was a hostile takeover. As Christ, the stronger man, came and rescued you from the dominion of darkness, placing you into that kingdom of light by this mighty water word upon your head and your heart. Now, as children of God, At every turn, we may see the efforts of Satan to dethrone Christ from our hearts. In fact, the more earnestly we mean to have the rule of Christ in our lives, the more we shall feel the devil's efforts. The devil doesn't much bother with the godless for the time being. They are safe in his bag. So he bends his special attacks on the children of God. That is you and me. The more we cling to Christ, the more the devil will attack. The more we are shaped and formed by the Word of God and the sacraments, the louder Satan will yell and scream and hiss, the more that we remain steadfast in God's Word, speaking the truth in love, the more the world will scorn and slander us. My friends, do not be discouraged, though. Do not be discouraged. The reason why Satan's kingdom will come to an end, well, the kingdom of God will remain forever. Furthermore, the decisive battle between the two kingdoms of evil and light has already been won in Christ on the cross. Therefore, when the devil attacks, when temptations arise, and when the world scorns us, we shall not fear, but rather we will confess together as Christ's church this, we will confess, Satan, I am not yours. Christ has died for me. I am baptized, I've been bought back, and I am forgiven. You, sly serpent, have been blinded and are muted. Shut your face, evil one, and be gone. I belong to the crucified one, the stronger man, Jesus Christ. Yes, from faith, we will also laugh. We will laugh in the face of the devil. We make the sign of the cross upon our head and our heart. We receive the forgiveness of sins, and we tell Satan to depart from us, for it is Jesus Christ who sits on the throne of our hearts and our minds and our lives, today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Jesus, my friends, is the stronger man. He's the stronger man for you. And yes, you commune with him. He belongs to you and you belong to him. You are the kingdom of God. You shall not fear. You shall not want. You are in Christ. He has snagged you in his net. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org. Or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.